Hare Krishna. Welcome all the devotees and participants for our advanced Gita course sessions beginning from this Friday. I guess many of you who might have attended our previous basic course, you might have also gone through the advanced sessions, but of course every advanced session is always with a different flavor. So still, I hope those of you who might have attended before will still enjoy it. And when we talk about the advanced sessions on whatever we have discussed during our basic course, how many of you were there participating for the basic course? Okay, so when we are talking about the advanced Gita course, we'll be going much more deeper in regards to the last session. And what was the last session? Anyone remembers what was the last session? Practical application of Bhagavad Gita in one's day-to-day life, or in other words, how to perform akarma. Akarma is something which is beyond punya karma and pap karma. So when we are talking about akarma or practical application, if you remember, we had discussed about the ABCD of Bhakti Yoga. You remember? A, B, C, D. Don't worry, we are not teaching you English here. It's not that you are going back to your basics to learn A, B, C, D here. But of course, when it comes to Bhakti Yoga, these are the basics of Bhakti Yoga. Beginning, A refers to association, B refers to books, C, chanting, and D refers to diet. So of course today we shall be taking up only the first one. We shall be only learning the A of Bhakti Yoga, which means association. And since all of you who have been coming and associating with devotees out here, and also those of you who had attended the basic course, you all associated for at least 6 days continuously, and you got some little feeling of what is this kind of association. But today we shall go much more in depth in trying to understand what is this association which is so much talked about, not just in one of the scriptures, not just in our Vedic scriptures, but association is being discussed and emphasized. Good association, talking about, is emphasized in practically all the scriptures of all schools of thoughts, all different religions. So beginning with association, what we shall be discussing under this heading, the A, what is association, why one should have good association, and how one should have good association. So of course, I'll try to get some inputs from all of you also in regards to these three questions which we'll be undertaking under the theme today, association. Herein, when we are talking of association, we are talking about developing a spiritual fellowship. And of course, there are so many different kinds of association, like you have so many clubs which you become member of, you know, the Rotaract Club, the Rotary Club, the Lions Club. Any other animals? Only lion? Okay. So there are so many different kinds of association, and the world is full of so many different kinds of association. But then, always, whenever you become a member of any kind of association, the terms and conditions are laid, first of all. That what are the terms and conditions for one to become member of that kind of association? And along with the terms and conditions, then, what are the objectives which that particular association wants to achieve? So when we are talking about good association over here, or when we are talking about satsanga, we should know also that what are the terms and conditions? How can I become not just a passive member but an active member? And what are the objectives which one achieves upon getting membership into this kind of satsanga or good association? So we are talking about spiritual fellowship. So at the premise, we have made it very clear that we are talking about satsanga, not just any kind of association, not just, you see, sometimes people might come to a temple and it might look like it's satsanga. It might look like some spiritual fellowship. But many times, people who might come to temple also, sitting together in a holy place, sacred place, but the objectives might be completely different. Yes, sometimes the objectives might be completely materialistic also. And therefore, it is not simply the physical aspect of people coming together. It is more than the physical. Just like, you know, I was visiting so many churches in Italy. Italy is famous for the Vatican also, and so many churches. You know, over there, any ordinary temple, which we would call it as a temple, over there as a church, an ordinary, like, gali ka mandir, jisko bolte na. So, gali ka church over there, it's like huge in size. You know, just the structure itself. But then, as we were going in all these places, including the Vatican, we found that it was just a tourist attraction. There were practically, just in a couple of hours, the Vatican, we found that there were more than 10,000 people who were entering into that particular church, St. Peter's Church. But 99% of them were all tourists, with their cameras, taking photos, and you know, just having you know, a feather on their cap that yes, we have visited the Vatican, here are the photos, and people were taking their own photos inside the church. So the whole mood was just to use the premises, the church premises, for fulfilling their desire of visiting places. So it was, there was nothing spiritual happening in regards to consciousness, in regards to spiritual advancement. So when we are talking about the A of Bhakti Yoga, when we are talking about A of Sadhana Bhakti, this association, we are talking about spiritual fellowship which helps us advance in consciousness. And that begins, of course, when we physically come together like this. So, here are some insightful gems which we can throw light upon and see. It is said a song without any music is like H2 without O. What do you understand by this? Yeah, we understood hydrogen without oxygen. That's quite literal. Huh?
Two various gases without the formation of any water.
Oh, thank you. Two gases without any formation of water. But then how do you explain it in light to whatever we are discussing tonight? Or when we talk, another example is given, song and music. Anyone from behind would want to explain? Huh? The most important factor, if it's missing, then you can't call it what it is supposed to be called. So, just like song with music and proper music, you know, it's called the symphony. With proper symphony, when the song is sung, then you can actually relish the beauty, the melodies of that particular song. So, which means, herein, the association of song and music, just like the association of H2 and O, can quench our thirst. If you separately take H2, if you separately take O, and think that, you know, I will quench my thirst like that, no. So, therefore, a proper association of something gives rise to something so worthwhile that it, you know, nourishes and rejuvenates our physical body. And of course, the example of the song and the music. An anthill increases by accumulation, medicine is consumed by distribution, and a man is groomed in good association. And the last one is very interesting. Bad association is like a piece of coal. If it is hot, it burns. If it is cold, it still blackens the hand. So, sometimes we might think that my bad association is passive, not active. Now, what examples can you give of a person who might have a passive bad association in his or her life? Of course, active bad association means that you get involved with that bad association, that activity, and you know, you are just, you know, in the core of that particular thing. But passive bad association, what could you think of? Something which is very common. Passive smoker. This is also an example of passive bad association. I was told that passive smokers are more prone to the ill effects of smoking than the... Am I right? How is it? I don't know. They get affected more than the active smoker. Only when they are children. Anyone? Okay. Okay. We don't want to get in detail with... Whatever it is, better not to smoke. Better not to be in association with people who smoke. Yeah. Another example for passive bad association, like, you know, hot charcoal and cold charcoal. So cold charcoal can be compared to the passive bad association. How about television? Now, this is something which is very, very common. And this is something which turns out to be addictive. This is something which can be justified. This is something which is considered to be a necessity. This is something which is considered to be healthy. There have been debates. You know, my first debate in my life when I was primary school, the first debate competition which I participated, this was the topic. Television, a boon or curse? A very common topic. I guess still this is like a $1 million question. Television, is it a boon or a curse? What do you think? How you look at it? You know, one person, he gave this answer when I asked that. Television, boon or curse? He said, how you look at it? And he said, when you are looking at it from behind, it's a boon. When you are looking at it from the front, it's a curse. You know, one famous philosopher, he said that I really thank the television set. Because of it, I became a big philosopher. Because whenever it was put on, I would go to the library to read a book. And, you know, that turned out that, you know, I became a big philosopher. So I thank, all thanks to the television set. Now, you see, definitely there are things which are shown on the television which might enlighten us in some way. But one thing is, you should understand that whatever that enlightenment which one gets through that television, how much is the percentage of that as against the pollution of consciousness which takes place in regards to the other aspects of what's going on the screen. So, you see, how people justify that association is that, you know, there are these channels which gives me information and, you know, I get to know so much the National Geographic, the Animal Planet, Discovery Channel, no more? So, which is your favorite channel? Everything. In spite of not having the cable. The Sanskar. Astha. Atma. Many times people, hey, your program comes on the TV. How about that? And, you know, news channel. This is something, you know, which sometimes people, they say, I just put on for the news. And but then in between the news, like, you know, in Europe, there is one channel, it's called Ice Fire Channel. And this particular channel was not picking up the crowd. It was not picking up the crowd so much. It was a news channel. So, you know, what was the gimmick which they played? In order to have more viewers, they would have a lady news reporter report the news. And as she would begin to report the news, she would be fully dressed in the beginning. But then as she would start reporting the news, she would start taking off her clothes. And that became, you know, the most hot channel for viewing news. And then, you know, when they did a survey of how many people remembered what news they heard. Arey, forget news, man. You see, what we do not understand is the consciousness which is going behind the programs which are being telecast. The consciousness is full of lust and greed. And therefore, we may see something on a gross level, but we may not realize how on a subtle level the consciousness of whatever is being shown to us is just infiltrating inside us. And therefore, we sometimes find ourselves totally greedy and lusty after, you know, certain interactions with these kind of passive bad association. And later on, we can't figure out and trace out from where this lust and greed has entered into my system. So therefore, when we are talking about passive bad association, one has to be very careful with that passive bad association. Like, for example, eating. We'll discuss that more elaborately in the diet section, the D. Now, in eating, according to Niti Shastra, for a man, if he wants to have a healthy body and long lifespan, if he eats the hands of two people in his life, one his mother and the other his wife, if he eats food cooked by either his mother or wife, provided, you know, the wife is, you know, the typical chaste wife and all of that. So then, according to Niti Shastra, the man who eats food cooked by these two personalities, his lifespan increases and his health increases, because not because of the physical aspect of the food, but because the consciousness which goes in. The consciousness is the mother cooks for the child, that my child should be healthy after eating this. Also is the same with the wife. Supposed to be, hopefully. So, herein we are talking about how there is passive good association involved in that food. When the food is being cooked, the consciousness which goes in that food. And therefore, you know, this is in English, there is a term called subliminal effect. There is this subliminal effect which is very, very imperceptible. You can't even detect that what's happening to the consciousness because of what. So therefore, if you want to test it out, if you want to test it out, you don't watch television for 1 month and see the change in your consciousness. In fact, I have, you know, put this test to so many people, and they have come after the test and they have said that phenomenal changes they have found in their consciousness when they stopped watching the television, whatever, what so reason. And mind this, whatever is the news of this world, you will come to know somehow or the other. Because as far as the news of this world it is concerned, that even if you pick up the newspaper 20 years from now, you have not missed anything. News remains the same, only the people, character, places, they change. So therefore, if you want to try it out, that how your consciousness will have a positive effect, try this out for 1 month, and then you can for yourself judge yourself that, you know, on what level your consciousness remains after that, you know, giving up of passive bad association. Forget about the active bad association. We don't even have to discuss about that. Therefore, for success in any field of activity, association of like-minded people is extremely important. And therefore, you find that why certain organizations, they are designed in such a way that like-minded people only they visit. Like if you go to a college, you will have like-minded people coming over there. If it's an engineering college, yes, all the students of that engineering college will have a certain mindset, a certain objective, a certain way of functioning. Means more or less the same. And medical college and any other college will have, you know, their own kinds of approaches and association over there. So similarly, if we want to advance spiritually, first of all, the question is, do we want to advance spiritually? If that is the motive which we have decided in this human form of life, then we have to look into whether I am getting into the right association in order to achieve that objective. For example, if somebody wants to become an engineer, or somebody who wants to become a businessman, and he doesn't associate with any business person, he is not aware of what's happening in the business market, in the stock market, and he's just by himself. Do you think he can become a successful businessman? So in order to become a successful businessman, he has to associate with other, not just any other businessman, but successful businessman. And therefore you'll find that people, they always have their role models set for themselves. You know, for businessmen, they'll have their role models as other businessmen. You know, for sports stars, they'll have their role models, so on and so forth. So, first of all, if this is very clear that in this human form of life, I have this objective of advancing on the spiritual path, who is the role model? Who are the people whom I associate with? And is it really something worth happening in that association? Am I progressing? And therefore, it is said, you become what you associate with. The example is given, Prabhupada used to give the example, that iron, when in association with fire, can take on the fiery qualities of that fire. you know, red hot, it turns into red hot iron. Now, you know, in the Niti Shastra, there is the example of a spark. That spark, when it associates with water, immediately gets extinguished. Spark, when it associates with stone, you know, when it lands on stone, it takes a while after and then it gets extinguished. The same spark, when it associates with wet grass, maybe it might turn the wet grass into little warm grass. But the same spark, when it associates with dry grass, then it turns into fire. So similarly, there is association in the mode of ignorance, there is association in the mode of passion, there is association in the mode of goodness, and then there is association in the mode of purified goodness. Another example in Niti Shastra is given, that of rain drop. When raindrop associates, when it just hits, you know, on a stone, it just sits there. But the same raindrop, when it sits in oyster shell, and that too in a certain nakshatra, Swati nakshatra, when that raindrop sits in oyster shell, it turns into pearl. So the same raindrop, but association with different situation and circumstance, turns out to be maybe a pearl, or just glides away and gets evaporated. So therefore, herein we are talking about that these are not just some proverbs or sayings which are good to hear in a seminar, but you know, they are actual truths. If when implemented in one's life, can bring about that kind of a change. Sometimes, you know, these kind of examples, it's very good to be quoted for others. You know, that, you know, this should be the good association. I'll give you one example from the Niti Shastra. The pearl, the oyster shell, and that example. Huh? So, hear it carefully. And how do you like the example? Good example. But how much, you know, someone is trying to bring about a change by understanding and implementing the principle of that example. Like there was a Christian, he was a devout Christian, would go to the church regularly and was very religious. All of a sudden, he stopped going to the church. And then many things transpired in his life, and you know, he fell into wrong practices, unmentionable activities, and became almost a sinner. And then it so happened that the priest of that particular church was very much concerned that this person at one point of time was one of our active members associating in the congregation of the church, and now he's no more to be seen. And he found out that where is he, what is he doing, and what's all happening in his life. So he realized that this person had gone so far away from his religious activities that it was practically impossible, you know, any sermon he would listen to or any preaching he would listen to which would bring him back. So what this priest did, this priest once visited, and you know, he dressed himself in not the typical priestly dress, but he dressed himself showing that, you know, he's a Christian, you know, with the cross and everything and all that. And he visited him in the evening when this man, you know, he was having his drinks and all that. So the priest visited him, and this person realized that, you know, he's that same priest who has come. So he was feeling so guilty. He was feeling that how should I present myself. So both of them were in a predicament. The priest was in a predicament how to preach to this person now, and this person was in a predicament that how to deal with the priest now. So they both sat in the living room and they both were looking at each other in complete silence. Not even a single word was spoken. 5 minutes passed by. 10 minutes passed by. They knew what's happening, but none of them could speak a single word. Half an hour passed by. Now the priest, he looked that, you know, in the western countries, they have the fireplace, you know, because of the winter cold seasons. So they have this fireplace, you know. Have you seen the fireplace? Sometimes in some parts of India also they have. So the priest looked at the fireplace and there was some coal which were burning in that. So the priest went there. He picked the tongs. With the tongs, he picked up one burning coal, red hot burning coal. And then there was a tray, empty tray. He just put that burning coal in that empty tray and placed the tong back again. Again came and sat. Now both of them, they were looking at that burning coal. 5 minutes passed. The coal was burning, burning, burning. 10 minutes passed. Slowly, the redness of the coal was dying out. 15 minutes time, the coal was black as coal. And he left. That was a silent sermon given to this person. And he understood. And from next day, he started coming to the church. Association. When the charcoal was in association with fire, it was burning like fire. It had the properties of fire. And you put it outside of that association, becomes black like that coal. So that is the power of association which was taught to this person through that silent sermon. So you become what you associate with over here, as it said. Therefore, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita talks about what is that association which my devotees are involved in. Machitta madgata prana bhodayantas parasparam kathayantas cha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Here, tushyanti and ramanti is very interesting, because tushyanti means satisfaction and ramanti means entertainment. So what are people looking for nowadays? Entertainment, satisfaction. This is what people are looking for. And here and therefore Krishna, he making it very relevant that what you are actually looking for, you will get it in this spiritual fellowship. As he says, the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Just like when drunkards, when they associate with each other, what do you think they discuss? When drunkards come together, do you think that they talk about the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita? That what Krishna, you know, is discussing about Ashtanga Yoga. Imagine, you know, in a bar, drunkards are sitting together and having, you know, their bottles and pegs in front of them, and, you know, they are discussing. Malum hai, Bhagwan Gita mein kya bolte? Te adhyay mein bolte hain. Toh dusra bolta hai, are chhata peg chal raha hai mera, bol chhate adhyay mein kya bolte hain. Isle toh main bol raha hoon, chhata peg mera bhi chal raha hai. Isle chhate adhyay mein भगवान बोलते हैं शुचौ देशे प्रतिष्ठाप्य, मतलब अपना घर बार छोड़ के अष्टांग योग करना. बोला इसलिए तो मैं घर बार छोड़ के इधर आया हूं. सो इमेजिन इफ यू नो, डेफिनेटली दैट वुड नॉट बी द काइंड ऑफ डिस्कशन विच वुड गो ऑन, यू नो, ओवर अक्रॉस दैट पर्टिकुलर काइंड ऑफ टेबल. सो विच मीन्स दैट हियर इन वी आर टॉकिंग अबाउट पीपल हु हैव मेड spiritual life as their goal, when they come together, as Krishna says that the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. So the thoughts will dwell in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, once their thoughts dwell in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then their lives are fully devoted in the Supreme Lord's service. And therefore, they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another. Therefore, you'll find that, same example of a bar or a permit room, when people come together to drink some alcohol or liquor, over there, they enlighten each other. How? You know, there will be these ghazals which will be played. And the ghazals will be just glorifying what? Glorifying that particular activity. So over there, the thoughts are dwelling in that. And they are devoted to that activity of drinking. And they are rendering service to each other. You know, they will make a peg for the other person. I'll make for you. And yes, you know, I'm also your servant. So servant of the servant in making, you know. And then sometimes they will have each other's Mahaprasad. Let me try out this one. And then they enlighten each other. So the, you know, the kind of songs and everything which are played are, you know, all this. Yadi nasha sharab mein hota, to nachti botal. So these kind of things, and you know, they try to then they try to justify what they are doing, and if anyone speaks against their drinking, then you know they have preaching seminars. What do you think? You know, you think that you know drinking is bad? Come on, you know, I can give a PowerPoint presentation on what are the good effects of drinking and how it helps. Like, you know, after the 6-day seminar, some person was coming up to me and saying that, you know, it has been now found that drinking is good for your system. In moderation, if you drink, you know, it's good for your system. So of course, people then they can justify so many different things what they want to do. But herein we are talking about that if the goal, as Krishna says, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is the activity which goes on in that spiritual fellowship, in that spiritual association. So now spiritual association is compared to some things of this material world which are very interesting, and let's see what we can draw out from these examples. Spiritual association is compared to a mirror. What do you understand by this? How is spiritual association compared to a mirror? We can see what? Yes, in a mirror, when you go in front of a mirror, if it's a proper mirror is supposed to show you who you really are. You know, sometimes photographs and pictures, they can be superimposed, altered, and you know, so many things can be done. But a mirror will show you as you are, whether you are beautiful, whether you are ugly. So therefore, there are certain associations which we might go in, which will not show us what we really are. Go to, a party. Over there, everyone is in that party mood and bodily concept of life and, you know, sense gratification. So nobody is going to speak anything against, you know, that activity or that sense gratification. But when you come to association like, you know, a spiritual association, over there we get to see both sides. We get to see how much is the divinity which we have within, whether there is anything. And also, we'll be able to see that how much is the other side also present in myself. So just like a mirror shows the person as it is, both whether good or bad. Then spiritual association is compared to litmus paper. How do you understand this? Again, what does the litmus paper do? The litmus paper is neutral. It shows what is the nature of the liquid. So when a person gets in a spiritual association, that spiritual association puts that person to test. The litmus test, as it is said. And in that litmus test, we get to know whether we are in the mode of ignorance, whether we are in the, just like, what are the three? The alkaline, acidic. Okay. So like that, the three modes of material nature, ignorance, passion and ignorance, goodness. So we come to know when we are put in association that, you know, how much can I sustain just the lecture? That will prove which mode we are in situated in. What to speak of the practice? Just the theory aspect will make, you know, will expose us. Whether the mode of passion, whether the mode of ignorance or goodness is prominent within us. And then when, of course, it has been asked to follow what we have heard, that is, you know, the ultimate litmus test, which will make sure where we stand. Kaun kitne pani mein hai. Also, after the litmus test, we can compare spiritual association to the gold testing stone. What does a gold testing stone do? Purity of gold. So herein, after understanding what are the positive and negative qualities which one might have, after understanding which nature one belongs to, then spiritual association also acts like the gold testing stone, in which even if we have little good quality or piety or divinity, it is tested out. How deep is that piety? Sometimes people think, you know, when they come in this kind of association, they think that they are already very spiritually advanced. Like, in my childhood, you know, I used to go for these Bal Vihar classes. And we used to hear stories from Mahabharata, and we used to memorize Bhagavad Gita shlokas and recite the Bhagavad Gita shlokas. So I thought that I knew a lot. When I first came in contact with the devotees, I said, oh, they're all devotees of Krishna. I had sung so many bhajans about Krishna, and you know, Gita, I knew so many shlokas. And then I met one American who was, you know, knowing Bhagavad Gita like the back of his palm. And he was quoting shlokas left and right. And I was shocked. And I thought I had an overestimation of myself, that I know more than. And this was an American. This surprised me. In fact, that was one of the reasons that I took this challenge. If, you know, an American is teaching me about Gita, it's an insult. So, you know, to just get over that insult, I said that I have to open this Gita and study Gita. That more than someone who is not from my country. And many times, you know, this is something which puts us to shame. You won't believe, in Hungary, we were in Hungary, Budapest, the capital, the downtown city. Over there is a Bhakti Vedanta Academy, wherein the local Hungarian people, you know, Hungary is a European country where other European countries, they simply look down upon Hungary and Hungarians. That they are strange people and they are considered to be outcast Europeans, the Hungarian people. Their language is totally different and their lifestyle is totally different. And these local Hungarians, they come to this academy, more than 300 of them. They come to this academy to study Rig Veda, Sam Veda, Yajur Veda, Athar Veda, the Puranas, Upanishads, how to worship the deities and Pancharatrika Vidhi, and these, the Sanskrit, you know, Sanskrit grammar, they are studying there. And there was one of our devotees who owns a restaurant in Rome. And over there, this devotee, he has a big, in the restaurant, there is a big library. And this big library is filled with all Vaishnav literatures, Vedic scriptures. And there is a section where the customers who come, more customers come to learn Sanskrit. And after their Sanskrit class, then they have, prasadam. Food, sanctified vegetarian food in Italy offered to Krishna. Food without onion and garlic, cooked by devotees, offered by devotees, served by devotees, eaten by these people. After learning Sanskrit. So when I saw that, 300 in, and it's, aided by government. Government aids it. Government pays for the rent of that place. Government pays for someone who might not be able to give the fees for that particular course, 3-year course. So 3 years they are in that academy and they learn all of that and they pass out as Bhakti Shastris. And of course, locally they call it the BA degree which they get. I didn't even find it anywhere in India this happening. This is something happening over there. So, when we are talking about gold testing zone example, we can understand that how much whatever spirituality, divinity, piety we have, when we come into this association, we get to know that what is the quality, just like gold testing stone tests the quality of the gold. So that gold, yes, piety is also compared to some amount of gold. But what is the quality of there? Is it just some gold plating, gold leafing, which carat, how much is it, 22 or 24, what carat gold it is, that's all tested out. And ultimately, spiritual association is compared to churning rod. That, yes, whatever we may have, whether the impiety or the piety, the divine, the demoniac, whatever mixture of that, what does a churning rod do? When the yogurt is churned, the butter comes out. So in this good spiritual association, we should consider that it's like the churning rod and see whether the real essence of my consciousness is surfacing out. And what is the essence of one's consciousness? Love for God. So the ultimate understanding of spiritual association is when in that association my love for God comes out, comes forth, surfaces out. That is the test of real spiritual association. Now, why to associate? The first reason, to achieve the ultimate goal of this human form of life. This is the first reason. You should know, if somebody is asking you that, why do you go for the advanced sessions? Why do you go for the Sunday classes? Of course, there might be so many other reasons, but over here, let's understand shastrically, Vedic scripturally, what are the reasons. The first is to achieve the ultimate goal of this human form of life. And the ultimate goal of this human form of life, if you remember the first day, that we have to cut through the cycle of birth, old age, disease and death and achieve the spiritual world. So, Shankaracharya speaks about this, the goal of human form of life in regards to satsang, when he says, satsangatve nissangatva, nissangatve nirmohatvam, nirmohatve nischalatatvam, nischalatatve jivan mukti. So, the end of this particular verse, it ends with jivan mukti and it begins with satsangatve, which means when we come in satsanga, the second thing which one should see happening within oneself is nissangatve. Bad association should go down. As good association comes up, bad association should go down. When that goes down, nirmohatvam, the illusion of this world subsides away. When that illusion subsides away, then nischalatatve, one gets nischalata in the process of spiritual path. And that gives rise to jivan mukti. So therefore, the first reason why to associate is for this. The second is recommended by all scriptures. Sadhu sang, sadhu sang, sarva shastra kahe. Sarva shastra. All the shastras, they are speaking about satsang, satsang, satsang. Lava matra sadhu sang, sarva siddhi hoy. Just a little bit association with a sadhu. Like you must have heard of Ambarish Maharaj. The story of Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Ambarish Maharaj had a brother who was complete opposite of Ambarish Maharaj. He was a rogue, a rascal, a sinner. His name was Paparaj. Name itself, the title itself was interesting, Paparaj. So this Paparaj was creating havoc and Narad Muni came to know. So Narad Muni always looks for challenges. So Narad Muni, when he came to know that this Paparaj is creating havoc because of his nefarious activities, so Narad Muni went to preach to Paparaj. And everyone stopped Narad Muni that, you know, it's one thing that you preach, but preach to this person, you know, threat to your life. So Paparaj became so angry when Narad Muni, first of all, is approaching him and that too preaching to him. So Narad Muni said, no, I'm not preaching to you. I've not come here to give you a lecture on anything. I just want to inform you that soon you are going to die. Maharaj, that's for sure. You know, there is no doubt about that. You know, already they are making, you know, plans for you and seats reserved for you there. No, here, it's below, not there. So Narad Muni said, see, you will be going very soon, meeting with Yamaraj. And, you know, before they give you out all those hellish punishments, you just make sure you ask this one question. This one question, what is that question? What is the glory of associating with a sadhu even for a moment? Just ask this one question. What is the effect of associating with a pure saint even for a moment? Lava matra sadhu sang. So, of course, Paparaj was so angry that, you know, he just chased away Narad Muni from that place. And then when he died and he was taken to Yamaraj, and then he realized that it's happening. It's happening actually, you know, I'll be punished severely. Hellish punishments are awaiting me. But then he remembered that Narad Muni had told me to ask this question. So he said, wait a minute, I have a question before you begin, you know, the party for me. And he asked the question that, what is the effect, the result of sadhu sangha even for a moment? And Yamaraj, he said, that's a very deep question. Because even I do not know what are the glories of one who associates with a sadhu, which means the ultimate glories, I also do not know. So Yamaraj said, okay, let's go to Lord Brahma. Because Lord Brahma is made of intelligence. He has four heads and such an intelligent being. So Yamaraj, Paparaj, both of them going to Lord Brahma. And then Yamaraj is asking, see, he is asking this question, and I thought that I would refer to you, not speculate giving him any answer. So then this question was asked to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma, he also started scratching his foreheads. That this is a very deep question, I don't know what would be the, you know, accurate answer to this one question. Let's go to Lord Shiva. So then here is Paparaj, and Paparaj was wondering, my God, what a brilliant question I asked. Huh? No one knows the answer. I have to meet Narad Muni. Who is that Narad Muni who had told me to ask this question? So he was, you know, at least, you know, it's getting postponed. You know, here and there it's getting postponed. So they all go to Lord Shiva. And when Lord Shiva is asked this question, even Lord Shiva, he looks at Yamaraji and Brahmaji and Paparaj, said, it's one of the most deep questions. And definitely, I don't want to speculate. I don't want to just, not give justice to the answer. So, Who was left? Lord Vishnu, Vaikuntha planets. So then now, Paparaj, Yamaraj, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they are entering into the Vaikuntha planet. And over there, when Paparaj looks at the Vaikuntha planet, wow, this is great, my God. Never experienced something like this before. And then, of course, Yamaraji said, he is definitely going to give the answer. After that, you just stay close to me. After that, I'm going to show you something more interesting than this. So Paparaj was, you know, held by Yamaraj, and you know, as they approached Lord Vishnu saw, wow, looks like some emergency, you know. The big heads have come. And then, you know, Lord Shiva, he represented the others and said that, you know, Lord Brahma came and he had this question. Lord Brahma said, no, Yamaraj had this question. So, okay, Yamaraj. Yamaraj said, no, Paparaj had this question. So then, you know, Lord asked, okay, who is Paparaj? So Paparaj, you know, trembling came in front of Lord Vishnu and said, so Vishnu is asking, so you are Paparaj? Yeah. So what's your question? My question is, what are the glories of association with a sadhu even for a moment? And Vishnu said, you want to know what are the glories? The glory of such a person is that that person, even though he might be the greatest of all sinner, even though he might be the king of all sin, Paparaj, when he associates with a pure saint, the result is personally Yamaraji, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva escorts this person right up till Vaikuntha planet to leave him here. This is the result. So they have played their role, the first part, that they have brought you here. Now three of you can leave except for Paparaj, which Lord Vishnu personally exclaimed of association with a pure saint like Narad Muni. So, recommended by all scriptures. Then, most effective way to associate with Krishna. If you want to associate with Krishna, the most effective way. Like, one time, Lord Krishna, he was talking to Narad Muni. And Narad Muni is asking, my dear Lord, people say that you are everywhere. And, you know, you are also called as Vaikunthapati. Vaikunthapati means one who is the pati of Vaikuntha planet. And you also have your so many other planets, and you have your holy places. So I want to know, what's your exact address, you know, permanent address batao. So Narad Muni asked, and Lord Krishna is answering to Narad Muni. When he says, Naham tishthami Vaikunthe, Yoginam Ridaye Shuva. He says that I am not situated in Vaikuntha. What do you mean? You are Vaikuntha Pati. Your permanent address is not Vaikuntha planet? He said, no. Naham Tishthami Vaikunthe Yoginam Ridaye Shuva. Neither I am situated in the hearts of these yogis who are meditating on me. I am not even there. Then Narad Muni is asking, then where are you? Tatra gayanti mad bhakta yatra tishthami narada. Wherever my devotees come together in that association and discuss my glories, chant my holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Lord said, I am there. That is the place where I am most accessible. So if one really wants to access God, one has to be in that particular association. Like, you know, about Vrindavan, it is said that, you know, Vrindavan is a place where always the Lord's glories are being spoken. Like, you know, one person when I was in Italy, he was telling me this anecdote. in which, you know, a Brajvasi goes to Rome. And over there, Brajvasi, he goes to the Vatican and meets with the Pope and, you know, it's like an experience. And then, as everyone, you know, is praying in front of the cross and all that. So the Brajvasi is asking that, what are you doing over here? Yes. And the Pope, you know, just to make the Brajvasi understand, says that, you know, we call for God, make a phone call. Said, you make a phone call? So, can I also talk to God, your God? And Pope, you know, just to make, you know, the moment a little light, said, but the phone call, it costs $10. Ah, don't mind, you know, I have, you know, some people along with me, and, you know, the Brajvasi paid that much amount, and, you know, he was made to make that, whatever, figurative phone call. And then the Brajvasi invited Pope to Vrindavan. And the Pope came to Vrindavan. And over there, the Pope asked, do you also make phone calls here to your God? He said, yes, you can. He said, how much is the charges? He said, 50 paisa. So what do you mean 50 paisa? The local charges. He's locally here only. Because he doesn't go out of Vrindavan, so he's here only. So no STD, no ISD. For you, you have to call paradise and heaven, and you know, the calls go so far, so therefore you charge $10. Here it is local. Our Krishna is just, you know, he's somewhere in some cowherd pasture grounds and over there playing with the cows. Govardhan, local charges. So Lord Krishna is locally present where the devotees are coming together and chanting his holy names in that association. And the natural habitat for every spirit soul is that spiritual association. Just like the natural habitat for a fish is to remain in water. So imagine a fish without water. What is the situation? Just imagine a fish without water, like we have some fishes out here. So you might not notice the fishes which are there within the waters. But if the fish is taken out of water, you can notice, but how long? It flaps, it will keep flapping and then die after some time. So therefore, the situation of a fish without water is the situation of spirit soul outside of spiritual association. So which means, how much necessary the element of water is for the fish. And that's how necessary is the spiritual association for the spirit soul. It's the natural habitat. Which means, otherwise it is unnatural. Now how to associate? The first is, not just physically, but consciously. One should not just physically come and say sit in a group like this and then feel that, okay, I have done my weekly quota of my association. Just like a fish who is in the water doesn't just very superficially take part in the water activities, but actually gets involved in it. So therefore, we have to be consciously, not just physically, but consciously coming in that particular association. By helplessly taking shelter. Just like again the example of fish which takes shelter of that water, we have to take shelter of this association. Unless we take shelter, it will again become monotonous and we'll start looking for something else. Just like whenever the fish takes that water for granted, looks for the bait. The fisherman which throws the bait, and then what happens to the fish? Gets hooked up and is pulled out of the water. So whenever in this association, we take this association for granted, rather we should be taking shelter of this association. It will be like the condition of that fish hooked out of water, getting attracted to something which is not part of that water. By bringing about a tangible change within one's lifestyle. Like, you know, There was one person named Jones, and you know, after his death, he wanted to see, he was to go to heavens for his good deeds, but he wanted to see hell and what is the difference between hell and heaven. So first he went to hell, and he saw that there was a very strange setup he saw for the people, you know, down there. And the setup was that all the sinners, they were having their dinner together. But it was very strangely arranged. What was arranged for all of them, very succulent feast was there. You know, proper palatable foods, foodstuffs were there on the dinner table. But the thing which was done to them was that their elbows were locked. Elbows were locked, and a long spoon was tied, strapped to their locked elbows. Now, how can you eat when your elbows are locked? So, you know, and they were supposed to use the spoons to eat. And therefore, all of these sinners in the hell, although the feast was there in front of them, were skinny, lanky people. Because they couldn't, but the same setup was there in heaven also, he saw. But in heaven, everyone was very healthy, stout. Why? Because what they were doing, although their elbows were also locked and you know, long spoon was strapped to it, how they remained healthy, that they were feeding the other person. Cooperation. They were feeding the other person, and as everyone was feeding each other in that particular setup, they were becoming healthier. And that's called enlivening each other by one's association. So when we enliven each other by one's association, not just simply remain a spectator, but become a player, and also whatever we have received in that good association, when we try to share it, as Krishna says, machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam. Parasparam means each other, they enliven each other in that good association. And therefore, this is the way how we associate. Now, what about the material association? Somebody might ask that, well, you are just talking about when you come on a weekly basis, or you know, bi-weekly basis, or twice in a week, or whatever. But what about every day I have to go and associate with not just passive, but active sinners out there? Sometimes work for them. So herein we have the story of the monkey and the crocodile for that. A very common story which in our childhood we knew. But then the purport was different. So herein let's try to understand the same story in light to what we are discussing. That they both became good friends, the crocodile and the monkey. And every day the crocodile would talk about this monkey and the good qualities about this monkey to his wife. And the wife became very much attracted to the heart of the monkey, because the crocodile would say, Mr. Crocodile would say that, you know, this monkey, he always eats succulent fruits and fresh air and leaves, and he's having a very organic lifestyle. So, you know, Mrs. Crocodile, she said that, you see, nowadays I am also putting up a lot of fat. So, I am into organic food nowadays. So, I would like to have, you know, some organic heart of this organic monkey. So, you know, what can you get that heart of that monkey? If that monkey is enjoying such succulent sweet fruits, how sweet his heart must be. So then the crocodile, I never thought about that. So, okay, then they planned out that, you know, he was to tell to the monkey that let's go for a ride in this river and sit on my back as you see over here. And then as it was all planned out, the monkey sat on the back of the crocodile. As the crocodile came in the middle of the river, what happened? You know the story? No. You know Mickey Mouse? Okay, so when they were in the middle of the river, then the crocodile revealed that sorry, my dear friend, I'm going to take you inside, you know, give you underwater ride. And in fact, today my wife, she has arranged, you know, to cook your heart. And that will be our dinner tonight, you know, your organic vegetarian heart. So the monkey said, "What? You should have told me before." And the crocodile stopped. "What do you mean, told you before?" He said, "Because I always, whenever I leave my tree, I leave my heart on the tree branch. So you should have told that today your wife was interested in my heart. I would have brought my heart along with me." And the crocodile, as crocodiles are, took him back to that particular bank of the river, just close to that tree, so that the monkey could go, as the crocodile thought, would go and fetch its heart. And the monkey jumped and said, "Hare Krishna." So the crocodile came to know that the monkey's organic heart was quite sharp. So herein it is said, yes, you might have to go and associate with crocodiles out there in this world who are hungry for your consciousness, for your heart. And therefore it is said, yes, you can go along with the crocodile, but leave your heart like that monkey. But where? At the lotus feet of Krishna. So when you leave your home, leave your heart at the lotus feet of Krishna. Just take your body. And therefore, when you leave, wherever, because you are where your heart is. And therefore, Prabhupada said that living in this material world is just doing the needful. So we do the needful to survive within this material world. But our heart and consciousness should be for achieving the real goal of this human form of life. And therefore, it is said that spiritual life is like a journey, and good association makes this journey beautiful. Sometimes if you do not have good association, even any ordinary journey might turn out to be very tiring. But if you have good association, it's like a beautiful journey. And the journey of this good association is from material consciousness to spiritual consciousness. It's going to transform us into this, from a land of bondage to a land of freedom, from a land of perpetual misery to a land of eternal bliss, from a land of envy and hatred to a land of pure love. So this is what this good spiritual association can give to all of us. If we really want all of these things to be happening, if the journey which we all want to undertake, which shall bring about this transformation from the material consciousness to spiritual, from a land of bondage to a land of freedom, perpetual misery to eternal bliss, do we all want? What do you say? So if we really want, this is what the material world is, wherein we see this happening practically day in and day out, not just in other people's lives, but we see this happening in our own life. And we also have the glimpse of the spiritual world which this good association gives us. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said that when devotees of the Hare Krishna movement come together and discuss about Krishna, they get a glimpse, they get a peep into the spiritual world. And he said that these, you know, beautiful photos of Krishna, they are like windows to the spiritual world. So in this good association, we get a peep into the spiritual world, but the choice is yours. Which window do we want to open? Whether we want to open the window of this material world, or whether we want to shut down windows, shutting down. Whether we want to shut down that window and get into just a peep of this spiritual window, and then not just the spiritual window, but then we can enter into. And Srila Prabhupada's mercy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is, even if you can't reach the door, you can still enter through the window. Just by chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this was the A. And in our next Friday session, we shall have the B. Any questions anyone has for whatever we discussed tonight? Yeah. You can speak loudly.
The word consciousness is often used.
Oh yeah, consciousness, as we discussed, I think it was fourth day. In the fourth day, we discussed about consciousness. The consciousness, you can switch it off. Consciousness is the symptom of the soul. And therefore, you cannot separate consciousness. The soul and consciousness, they are inseparable. Just like you can't separate sweetness from sugar. If you separate sweetness from sugar, it is no more sugar. You can't say that this is sweetless sugar. There's nothing called sweetless sugar. So similarly, consciousness and Atma, they are always interlinked. And therefore, when we talk about being Krishna conscious, which means we are definitely coming on the platform of the soul, and in the platform of the soul, the symptom of the soul is to be engaged in Krishna's service. Yeah, therefore the story of the crocodile was being given that, yes, you may have to sit on the crocodile and it might be very fearful, but you should be intelligent enough not to give your heart. So you might have to open the newspaper and read some things which you might have to read for your whatever, for your profession. Then you individually or anyone individually knows in the heart of the heart whether you are opening up to that page, whether you are going into that particular channel honestly, or whether you are surfing through the other channels to go to that channel. So 90% is all the other stuff and 10% is what you actually require and need. And that, of course, honestly, one has to judge and determine. And then, of course, not give your consciousness to it, but just do the needful. Like, I don't remember when did I read the last newspaper. But sometimes the information which I get is more graphic and detailed than people who are always, you know, diving into the newspaper so much. And of course, you know, I don't think it's much, you know, it's the Business Times which many times might help someone in the professional field. Other than that, I don't think, I don't know, but some things might help. But again, you have to judge for yourself how much you are giving into and how much you are protecting yourself from it. So which means for that, you may have to, you know, come more into the association to undo, you know, to undo that, come more in the association. And the real news, actually whatever is this news, why they call it news? News has to be new. Huh? But it's never new news, it's always the old. So the real new news is of the spiritual world. Because at every moment, there is something new happening. Okay, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. And we'll all keep associating like this. So that what we understood today, we understand it not theoretically, but practically. And all of us in this association go to the spiritual world and continue our association over there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki.